Bible tonight, and in the Old Testament of the Bible, God uses his prophets not only to preach his messages to the people, but if you look at the Old Testament prophets, oftentimes God would use a show and tell method to demonstrate his message. In other words, the prophets themselves often represented the people of God and the message God wanted to give them. For example, God had the prophet Jeremiah, you might remember, wear a girdle. By a girdle, we're thinking today of a woman's girdle, but it was a belt worn around his waist. And he was told to travel all the way about 500 miles to the east, to the Euphrates River, and bury that girdle. And then told to dig it up, and it was marred, and now put it on. And the people watched him do that and wondered what that was all about. But it was God's way to show the people that they were close to him, just like that girdle was right on Jeremiah's waist. And they became marred through their pagan Babylonian idolatry and their sin. And now they were profitable for nothing, just like that clothing item was unprofitable after it was buried there by the Euphrates River. There was another prophet, Ezekiel, and many things he did that God used to kind of do a show and tell method. One of the things he did was God said to him, "Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke." Now, I don't know if she had a stroke, may have been, or if it was just sudden stroke of God's judgment, not judgment, but a picture of God's judgment, that he took away the desire of his eyes. Well, what was the desire of his eyes? It was his beautiful wife, that he liked to look at her, and he would think about how lovely she was and how much he prized his wife. And suddenly God said, "I'm going to take her away," boom, just like that, from you. "And when I take her away, you're not going to be able to mourn her. You're not going to be able to have a funeral. You're not going to be, you just go and preach and just keep going." And the people looked at that and they thought, "That's strange. He loved her." But you see, it was a picture of the desire of their eyes. Does anybody know what the desire of their eyes was? The temple in Jerusalem. And God said, "One day, boom, I'm going to take it, and you're going to watch it burn before your eyes. And you're not going to have time to mourn over your temple. You're going to have to march out in captivity out of the land." And that was the message of Ezekiel, a show and tell. And so tonight, I am saying that what happened to Jeremiah was a visual demonstration of what God was doing to his people. What happened to Ezekiel? He had many visual demonstrations of what God was doing to his people. And tonight, I believe the prophet Jonah has a message for the people of God that we're living today in America. And what Jonah demonstrates to us, I believe, is beyond just his preaching, is what happened to him is a show and tell demonstration of what God is doing with his people in America. Can I say that tonight? What God is doing with his people. Jonah gives us a show and tell. So the message tonight comes from Jonah and the whale. And what happened to Jonah with the whale, I believe, is something that in the Bible gives you a visual demonstration of what's happening to many believers individually, your families, and even to churches in modern day America in 2024. So the sermon tonight is on how God uses Jonah's experiences to show you what God's doing in America, in Christians' lives. Now, the name of the sermon is A Whale of a Tale. A Whale of a Tale. And I'm going to give you three things. He said whale there. So, number one, because of what happened to Jonah shows you that your disobedience hurts those around you. The prophet Jonah, if you go to Jonah chapter 1, Jonah right after Obadiah, Jonah chapter 1, the prophet Jonah was commanded to go and preach to Nineveh. And that was the oldest and most populous city in the Assyrian Empire. And it was located on the east bank of the Tigris River, which is Today, modern day Mosul, Iraq is there. And if you would travel from Israel, specifically from Jerusalem, Israel, to go to Nineveh, it would be a trip east of 551 miles. And I want to talk to you about Jonah and his disobedience. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." So Jonah was commanded by God to go to that wicked city, a city founded by Nimrod, and it was very wicked. The people were very cruel, and they were somebody that God wanted him to warn and say, you know, "I'm warning you, judgment is coming. If you don't turn to the Lord, judgment is coming upon your city." Well, Jonah didn't want to do that because he knew that these people would very soon come to Israel and take over Israel, God's people, and treat them very badly, kind of like Hitler did, you know, when he came in and how he treated the Jews. And they were very wicked people. And so Jonah reasoned like this: if I do what God says, this is going to happen. Can I say to you tonight that when God tells you something in his word, and when you hear something preached to you from his word, you're not to decide, am I going to do this or not? Am I going to take a vote on this and decide whether this is best for me to do this or not? No, if God said it, you're to do it. We talked this past Sunday morning on Mother's Day about Jesus, the Lord, the Christ. The Lord means he's our benevolent dictator. He's our absolute master. And the way for you to get the gusto in life, we said, is just simply to submit yourself to whatever God tells you to do, you do it. And you say, why? Because what happened to Jonah when he was disobedient shows that that hurts those around you. It hurts those around you when you are disobedient. And the prophet, I believe the prophet Jonah was like many of you today, believers who are disobedient to God, right in our country. And here's what it says in verse 3 and 4. It says, notice this, but Jonah. We heard what God said, but now, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I remember going there to Joppa, to that area on the Mediterranean. We stayed in a resort there when I was in Israel, my wife. We walked on the Mediterranean right there where he sailed out, and that's where he went. And it says in verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. You see, God gave Jonah instructions. You go 551 miles to the east, you preach my message to these people, and leave the results to me. I'll take care of it. But Jonah felt like, no, if I do that, it's going to work out negatively for my family, for my people, so I'm going to decide what to do, and I'm deciding I'm going to go just the opposite direction. When he was supposed to go east, he went west. He went down to the Mediterranean, which was west, and I believe that he was in Jerusalem when God spoke to him, even though he was from the Nazareth area and the northern kingdom. I believe he was in Jerusalem worshiping at the temple, and God spoke to him. By the way, when you come to church and you hear the word of God, that's when God speaks to your heart. And you're not to forget what you've known to be true in the light when you walk out into the world. And too many Christians, they see themselves in the mirror of God's word, and they go away and forget what God showed them. And don't do that. Jonah saw very clearly what God wanted him to do, and he decided, no, I'm going to walk away from that. And so he went his own way. Now notice this in verse number 3. It says, twice, but Jonah rose up unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then it says again, he went down into it to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Listen, when you go away from the will of God, God's blessing and hand does not go with you. He went away from the will of God. We need, when we leave church, to go with God. Amen. When we are out there, we need to stay in the Word. We need to stay in prayer. We need to stay close to God and watch out for anything that would lead us away. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. What does that mean? Well, that means he was in Jerusalem. He was in the temple. And any time in the Bible you go down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the high point. Amen. By the way, the high point of your life should be when you come to church. You should be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. I'm preaching to the choir right now because you are here. Amen. But I'm just saying that you should not only be here, but not be disobedient to what God shows you here. You see, Jonah did go to church, so to speak. He did go to the temple. He did meet with God. He did hear what God wanted him to do, but then he walked away from it. And so many people do that. You walk away from it and don't stay with it. The Bible says you're to cleave to the Lord. Just like when you get married, husbands are to cleave to their wife, not cheat on their wife. Wives to their husbands, not cheat on. Cleave and stay with God. But so many times, listen to me, believers are committing spiritual adultery on their spouse, Jesus Christ. And God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And that is exactly the picture here of Jonah. I'm saying this whale of a tale about Jonah and the whale is shows us what happened to Jonah, shows us your disobedience hurts those around your life that are hurt by your disobedience. In fact, let's look at verse 4 again. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. See, Jonah had to go into that ship, and the Bible said he paid the fare. He had to pay the fare when he did that. By the way, whenever you go away from God's will for your life, you are wasting money, and that is a sad thing, to waste money. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can't lose. There are people tonight in this church, no doubt they rob God of the tithes and offerings. And I've seen them waste their money, and God takes it from them anyway. And so what a foolish thing to waste your money because you don't invest it in the tithes and offerings. Oh, that's such a waste. You waste time. What's more important than money? Time. Time. There's nothing more valuable than time. And how sad it is to see wasted days and years of a person's life, and they just procrastinate on obeying God. Listen, be like Abraham. When God set off for Isaac, he didn't procrastinate. He just did it. I think of Luke Zukowski. He's serving God. He's not procrastinating. And the family to obey God this summer and to have, and don't waste your summer in sin like Jonah disobeyed and wasted time, wasted money. And by the way, you forsake God's presence and blessing in your life when you walk away from what God wants you to do. It is not worth it. And I believe we're now at the point that if we continue, I'm saying the people of God, if the people of God continue to fail to obey God, it is not going to just hurt you, your family, it's going to hurt our nation. Unless there is a repentance and a return to God, you're going to lose your constitution. You're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose your country, just as sure as I'm standing here tonight. It's no more messing around. God is through with America and American Christians if we don't get right with Almighty God. And I'm saying to you tonight, it is so important. And I believe Jonah is given to us as a show and tell of what can happen. You say, well, what can happen? Well, what can happen is what happened to Jonah. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says, then the mariners were afraid. Why were they afraid? Well, the mighty tempest happened. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay fast asleep. Can I say something? You can do anything you want politically in America. It will not help like a child of God getting right with God. and getting back to obedience with God. That is the truth, and that is what Jonah tells us. Notice he was fast asleep. Notice verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Here the world around them is being hurt. The people around Jonah is being hurt. Why? Because he's sleeping. There are too many believers today. You're not dead in trespasses and sin. Thank God for that. But you're asleep at the switch. You're not really laying hold of the call of God upon your life. And that's where Jonah was. He was sleeping, and these things were happening to him. And by the way, a lot of believers today are sleepwalking right into destruction. And it's time for reviving in the church. It's time for the church to wake up and let it happen right here tonight. Let it happen in your life tonight. Decide, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to get out of sleep. And you know, the Bible says that these people were unsaved people. And they were wondering, what is going on? Why are you sleeping when this thing is going on? And there are Christians that are just oblivious to the severe chastening that's coming. I think of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Wasn't that what Jonah was supposed to be doing? Was he doing it? No, he wasn't doing it. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians, they go to church. They read their Bible. They do this and they do that. But they are not reaching their sphere of influence for Jesus Christ. They are not confronting the world effectively with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may our church not be asleep. May we be awake and alert so that we can be those that can be on the front line of saving America. That's the best way we can save America. I think of a guy who was in our church, and he was faithful, and he was spiritual, and God was working in his life, blessing his marriage, blessing his family. I saw it. Family was in the Christian school, and I remember I pled with him, don't walk away from God's will. And he said, I've got to walk away. This isn't working. He walked away from his marriage. He walked away from his family. He walked away from his church. And all those around him were affected by his disobedience. I saw kids cutting themselves, hurting themselves morally. I saw the church being affected, his wife, and so forth and so on. He just didn't see it, you see. He was a member of the church, and he walked away. Listen, he was alive. He was born again. He was a member of a good church here, had good preaching. But listen, he walked away, and he sleptwalked while people around him were hurt. I'm saying Jonah is a whale of a tale and shows us that, listen, your disobedience comes with a great price tag for those around your life. On the other hand, if you obey God, it comes with blessing to your wife, to your husband, to your kids, to your sphere of influence around you. What a difference it makes. And I'm thinking of another guy in our church. He was a deacon. And I remember he was in our church doing very well. But he had a time in his life when he told me, he said, you know, I was backsliding and I was sleeping spiritually. And he said that literally happened to me physically. And he was in his house next door, not the deacon that wife that's there now, but another one. He was in his house and his wife was there, his kids, and he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, his wife said to him, I think I smell something. Would you wake up, sleeper, you know, and check our basement out. Some smell down there. And he goes, he gets up, he's groggy, he walks down, you know, and he goes to open the basement door, the door leading downstairs to the bed. When he opened the door, the oxygen just hit the fire. It was smoldering in his house. And it goes, and the thing exploded into flames. Well, I was coming back to church. You know, I'd been doing some visiting. I was coming back to church. There were firemen all around the whole block. You couldn't get into North Main Avenue from Market Street. It was just all over the place. Their house basically burned inside, and their family was out of the house for months, living in a motel in Clark Summit during that time. And I'm just saying, listen to me, it is easy for you to fall asleep. It is easy for you to backslide. You could be in a good church. You could be in a place where you hear the word of God, but you don't really do what God says. And you don't really carry it out in your life. And the whale of a tale tells you that when you do that, what happened to Jonah shows that your disobedience will definitely hurt those around you. And in verse number 7 and following in this chapter, they tried to do everything to keep from doing what Jonah was telling them to do. Because see, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And Jonah found out that, okay, you have disobeyed me, and now you're hurting the people around you, and you have to come to a choice. What are you going to do? Because I am chastening you. I'm dealing with you. And by the way, I believe that people sin, and they disobey God, and God's people I'm talking about, and God raises up chastening in their life. But they're sleeping. They don't see it. They don't feel it. But those around them see it. And pretty soon they get their attention. Hey, what's going on here? And they begin to wake up. And Jonah woke up and he came to the conclusion, oh man, the only way you guys can be saved is throw me overboard. And they were like, oh, we don't want to throw you overboard. No, you know, they tried everything. They finally came to the conclusion, that's all we can do. He said, throw it. So they took him and they threw him overboard. And guess what happened? The sea calmed just immediately. See, God didn't have an issue with them right then. He had an issue with Jonah. And so the sea just calmed immediately. I'm saying your disobedience will harm not only yourself, but those around you. It can lead to an early grave. You see, if we're not going to do what God wants us to do, we say, oh, I've got other things that are more important than what God wants me to do. I don't have to worry about bus ministry. I don't have to worry about tithes and offerings. I don't have to worry about commitment in the local church. I don't have to worry about my responsibilities in the gospel. Well, if we do that, you see, and we are like that, God can just take us out early. And that might be the best thing for our family. That might be the best. I have actually seen people taken home early, and it was better off for their family. Did you hear me? It was better off. I don't want it to be like that. I want to be like David. They said to David, you're worth 10,000 of us. In other words, not intrinsically, but by the effect of his life. He was worth so much more. I want that to be. How about you tonight? Do you want that to be? Or do you want to have it happen that your disobedience is just hurting those around you? So it's better off if you go home. And secondly, this whale of a tale about Jonah is because of what happened to Jonah shows you your disobedience leads to the captivity of God's people. Look at verse 17 of chapter 1, first of all. I'll read it. You follow. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I like all these people that try to reason this out and say, well, it was a fish. It must have been a whale shark. Because obviously it couldn't have been a whale because it says it was a great fish. But other places it says it was a whale. So how do you figure that out? And they try to reason that out. And let me just tell you very simply, it was a whale, a literal whale. That's what got him. You say, well, how come it's called a fish? If God wants to call a whale, who's a mammal, a fish, that's fine. It had a tail, it swims. God says, before modern classifications biologically came, God said there is a broad classification of things called fish. And a whale, I know it's a mammal under modern classification, but God says a whale is a fish. And so I say, in a broad sense, a whale, though it's a mammal, classified as a fish. You going to argue with God? No, I'm not going to. And so it was a whale that swallowed up Jonah, and he was 3 days and three nights inside of the belly of that whale. And let me tell you, when you and I refuse to obey God as our benevolent dictator, God will put us under enslavement to globalists. When we fail to use our money and put God first, God will take it and say, like Klaus Schwab says, let them eat the bugs. and let them in the little houses, you know, these little tiny houses, and drive the little electric cars and all. Why? Because we've made a god of materialism. God blessed America. God blessed us with freedom, with liberty, from sea to shining sea, with a constitution. Why? He had a purpose so that we would be the friend of Israel. But look what we're doing to Israel right now on the college campuses. And so that we would get the gospel out to the world and herald the word of God for the English-speaking people here. And that's why he gave us the King James Bible. And so many churches are turning their back on it. And what does that lead to? Enslavement. I'm telling you the best way to get free. I'm telling you the best way. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, they said, oh, we've never been a slave to anyone. What a bunch of liars. They were slaves to the Babylonians. They were slaves to the Assyrians. They were slaves right then to the Romans. And they said, we've never been a slave. They were slaves to Satan and their own sin. And Jesus told them that. You want to be free, man. You have to realize that your sin leads to captivity. Do you realize Jonah, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, was a type of the captivity of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, because of your sin, had to be arrested and put in captivity. I saw the place where they held him at Caiaphas' house. It was no precious place. It was a hole in the basement. And they held him there that night as they slapped him around and mistreated the Son of God. And then he went to Jerusalem and was crucified, handed over to the Romans, terribly treated, and then put on that cross and died and went into that grave 3 days and three nights, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. I'm saying sin leads to captivity. But thank God our Savior went into captivity for us, to sin and to death, to pay for our liberation. And now, praise God, I'm free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. But it was through the captivity of Jesus. How stupid it is when we're free now to serve the flesh. How stupid it is to live a selfish life. And yet that's what many American believers are doing today and churches are doing today. Instead of obeying God and getting this gospel out and doing the Great Commission, they're living these selfish, self-centered lives, not ministry-centered lives. And beloved, if you're not careful, you could get into that. And I'm going to say that it will lead to captivity in your life. And I want you to see in chapter 2 there what happened here. It says in verse 1, after Jonah was swallowed up by that whale, it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You see him praying before that? No, I don't. He's sleeping. Now all of a sudden he's praying. You know, when you get thrown into the sea and you're swallowed up in a whale's belly, and it says there that he cried to God out of the fish's belly. Now, some people say, verse 2, he says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction, and God heard me out of the belly of hell. Now, they say he died and went to hell. And they say hell is Sheol, blah, blah, blah. He went to paradise and all that. No, if he went to hell, he went to hell. If the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense. It doesn't make sense to say he was in hell when it says in the previous verse he was crying out of the fish's belly. That's a metaphor for hell. It's a type of it. He was, remember, Jesus literally descended into hell and made an announcement there to the disobedient spirits in a chamber of hell. Remember that? So, but he didn't literally go to hell. He's a type of Christ. But he was in the fish's belly. He was crying out. And it says, verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Look at verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Now remember, he left the temple. Have you ever had God bring you back to church? You know, we got a lot of people that left the church. I believe they should be right back here. They tell me all the time, Pastor, I'm out there, I'm out here. I just had a guy tell me it again today. And he said other people are out here, and I tell them to get back to church. What? They're following some man who's a follower, not a leader. They're following some man. They're not obeying God. They're out there and messed up, and they need some affliction. The Bible said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Perhaps there's some affliction in your life going on, and God's trying to get your attention to get back into the perfect will of God. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's some other domestic affliction. But God is trying to get you back. And I'm just saying to you, when you're in the will of God, you're promised everything that you need. God will provide that for you. You don't have to worry. You can trust God. He will take care of you. Oh, it's wonderful. And Jonah, you know, he started praying again. He started remembering the temple of God again and thinking about how he left the will of God. And it says in verse number 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Isn't it interesting? In the ocean, there are mountains. Some of them are islands, and they stick up out of the ocean. But he went down to the bottom of the mountains with the whale. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He's like a type of Christ there as well. And he's speaking about that. And he says, verse 7, when my soul faded within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came unto thee into thy holy temple. Isn't it a sad thing that we need sometimes to actually go into captivity for God to get our attention? You know, to go in and lose things that we would hold dear to us. Don't make God do that to you. He doesn't want to have to put you into captivity to get your attention, beloved. He wants you to hear and to turn. And that's why it says in verse 8 of chapter 2, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah had believed a lie that he could walk away from God's will, and he missed God's mercy. He missed God's blessing. He missed what God wanted to do, and he got chastening instead. And yet the Lord delivered him out of that chastening. Why? Because Jonah turned back to the Lord. I'm just saying that your disobedience not only hurts those around you, but listen to me, it leads to the captivity that we see going on right now in our country. Look at the book of Judges. The people sinned, they observed lying idols, and what did God do? He sent the Philistines, he sent the people of the land, and they brought them under bondage and under captivity. And what a sad thing that is. I believe this is America's last call to be delivered from captivity. And I believe it's the call to believers. And you say, well, what can I do? Really get involved in politics? That will straighten it out. How about obeying God? How about doing what God wants you to do? That will straighten it out, because God will straighten it out. God raises up the deliverers. He always did it. But it was never, listen to me tonight, it is never until the people of God repented and came back to God. I have seen affliction in the church. I've seen affliction in our lives. And it always happens when we repent. And that's what you see happening here. He is confessing and agreeing with God that he has been a foolish man, observing lying vanities. And tonight, could it be that God is speaking to your heart? You've got some idol, something that's keeping you from being holy, holy, holy sold out to God. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, and he's looking for a boy, a girl that will be holy, given over to God. And that's what this whale of a tale in Jonah is all about. Number last. A whale of a tale is because what happened to Jonah shows your obedience can make a difference. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Do you know what? I believe that God is speaking to the globalists that have held us into captivity, and that they're getting pretty sick of trying to stop the anointed president that God has raised up to help his people. And it's going to be soon that they're going to have to vomit Mr. Trump out in the courtroom. It's going to be soon the media is going to have to vomit him out. It's going to be pretty soon that all of these devils are going to have to vomit him out and go, we can't digest the man. We can't destroy the man. We can't stop the man. Listen, you can't stop God Almighty. And you can't stop it when God is going to deliver his people. And so I'm just saying to you tonight that your obedience, your repentance, your desire to be wholehearted for God is what's going to make the difference with God and will get his attention. And that's exactly what we see here in chapter 3. Notice in verse 1 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time," saying. Isn't that great? He didn't listen the first time, but the second time he listened. Thank God for his patience, amen. Perhaps you failed him, but God will give you another opportunity. Perhaps you failed him, and now is the call. It's the last call for some people. Without revival in the church, there's no survival. And so he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh." And Jonah said, "I think I'll do it. I think I'll go." He arose, look at verse 3, "and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." And he went around Nineveh and he preached the word of God. He did what God wanted to do. And lo and behold, the people repented. Lo and behold, there was a great awakening. Do you believe God could do an awakening again in America? I believe it because of Nineveh. It's waiting for an obedient people. It's waiting for an obedient pastor. It's waiting for an obedient church. Church, where are you going to be tonight? As the remnant of Scranton Revival Baptist Church, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to go and make a difference? What is it God's talking to you about? Thank God for those that are going out soul winning on a Thursday night, training others. Thank God for those that are going out Saturday. Thank God for those that are buying up opportunities to give the gospel and inviting people to church and having people get baptized. Thank God for those that are giving the tithes and offerings and are praying for revival. Thank God for that. And I'm just saying, that's all we can do is all we can do. That's all you need to do. And so you can make a difference by your repentance and by your obedience. And this obedience of Jonah, not only did many people get saved who are going to be in heaven from Nineveh, of all places, Nineveh. What a wicked place. Man, America is a wicked place, but God can turn it around here. And God can make a difference in northeastern PA. He can do it. He's waiting for us tonight. For our obedience. And your obedience can make a difference. Your disobedience will help further the captivity until it's too late. And your disobedience will be harmful to your family, to your church family, and to those around you. And so tonight, a whale of a tale, Jonah, wants you to learn from his example about the liberty that we can have in Christ. May God help us to do what we need to do. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. And we're talking about